So Trilateral was a relatively new organization.
That's right. Rockefeller was also the leading light in the CFR for many years, about 15 years, and he is still an honorary chairman of CFR, so you can see overlap there.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he also have his foundation donate a lot of money to these organizations?
Yes. In fact, he gave them the building on the corner of, I think it's actually 58 East 68th Street, if I have my address right, in Manhattan. That building was given in 1929 to the Council on Foreign Relations by Rockefeller family money. So, you know, he is one of the major, major players we're talking about here, and he's an old man now, but he still wields a very large stick, and he's very fond of making comments about, oh, we're just a bunch of guys that sit around and talk about, ideas for the future.
Would these guys, John, love to see the world's population go from 6 billion to 500 million? Mm-hmm. Would they be happy with that?
Yes, they would. In fact, I think that the image that a number of them have is a sort of a vast, pristine planet, kind of like a country club, you might say, or like a feudal estate.
Mm-hmm.
They live at the top of the mountain.
Well manicured.
Very well manicured. The technology is all clean. It's hidden. You don't even have to see it. They rule everything, and the, quote, happy little artisans down at the bottom of the hill are making shoes and whatever, you know.
There'll never be any famine because everyone will be dead.
That's right. You won't have to worry about depopulation or population because most people will no longer be with us, and it'll be a very manageable planet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that creates its own problems for certain other aspects of these secret societies, which have more ties to transnational corporations. But ultimately, the game here is to tell these transnationals at some point, well, boys, you've done your work. If you want to continue to exist as you are going to have to accept a shrunken consumer base. You will still have tremendous power, in fact, more power relative to the size of the planet, but you will no longer be just simply gobbling up everything in sight because you won't need to. And that is going to be one of those trade-offs at some point that is going to occur if their plans continue, you know, down the line.
How do they eradicate the world, which is what they would like to do? How do they get rid of 5.5 billion people?
I would say that we're talking about some of the issues we touched on the last time I was on here, and that is, you have to remember, CFR basically created the blueprint for the United Nations. World Health Organization is a branch of the United Nations. World Health Organization unconsciously carries out the agenda of making sure that the real reasons that the bulk of the world gets sick and dies are never remedied, which is starvation, dirty water, no sanitation, overcrowding, immunosuppressive vaccines, and so on. This must continue, and it must actually increase, and toxic drugs must be given to people. Of course, Rockefeller money, created basically what we call modern medicine. And we must develop cover stories that will obscure all of this that is happening, and our basic cover story is going to be the terrible, frightening germ. And we are going to treat every germ we can find under the sun with toxic drugs. And we're going to say that some guy who lives in Kampala, Uganda, that is drinking sewage directly pumped into the drinking water and has no money, no job, no prospects, is starving, is really dying because of some germ that we identify. And for him, we have drugs and vaccines.
Where he's dying because of his polluted environment.
Exactly. And we will never remedy the polluted environment. We will issue task force reports to talk about this, but we're never going to do anything about it. We're going to pretend that all the illness that is afflicting the billions of people around the world who are poor and sick and starving and so forth is really all about medical solutions and medical problems, which will never solve any of those people's problems, really, but we're not going to say that. We're going to present it in that fashion. And over time, with wars added in and so forth, they hope to be able to achieve this kind of depopulation. But of course, you know, there are some more radical members of these organizations, the people that I, in my article...
Well, I got to ask you this.
Yeah.
Did Henry Kissinger write a report about depopulating the planet?
Yes. NSSM 200 was the memo. It was a national security memo that was never supposed to be made public at the time. And he was talking, you don't even have to read very carefully between the lines, but he was saying that national security interests of the United States made it absolutely necessary that we keep populations in the third world under control, because revolutions could break out and make these areas completely untenable for development, which you can read as transnational corporate takeover. And we must consider this a prime priority. In the 1970s, Kissinger wrote this memo. He is a Rockefeller guy. Rockefeller spends has spent an inordinate amount of money on toxic medical drugs.
Well, but let me say this, John. I don't want to interrupt you, but this is so important, because I have never seen a mainstream media person who has had the ability to interview Kissinger. He's been on Fox, he's been on CNN, he's been all over the place. I've not seen one national reporter ever pull out this real document and say, what about this? Never.
That
I would love to see him answer that.
That the next day he's going to lose his job. He knows that if he broaches that subject, that is going to be... I mean, first of all, you can imagine Kissinger's reaction.
Oh, he'd probably walk off the set.
Yeah, exactly. Storm off angry. He would call up everybody.
Irresponsible.
He would say, you know, what is this network doing? And who is this idiot reporter that tried to pin this on me? And blah, 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 blah. Doesn't he realize who I am? And, you know, look at it from the point of view of a reporter. I mean, I know reporters in the mainstream who know about this memo. They have it. They know about it. But if they ever interview Kissinger, it's going to be...
They're afraid to bring it up, aren't they?
Oh, Dr. Kissinger, it's so wonderful. What do you think about what's happening in Iraq and so forth? And they're never going to say, by the way, Henry, I have this little piece of paper. This is never going to happen. And if it ever did, these reporters would lose their jobs immediately. Boom. They would no longer be part of the club. They would have stepped over the line.
Didn't he also say once that power was the absolute aphrodisiac?
He did indeed. And he was talking about the people that he has known in his life who wield the most power. This is what we were talking about, the psychology of these people. This is their thirst. This is what they live for. And without it, they surely would die. I mean, literally, if you took that away from them, they would die.
Well, now let me ask you, John. Here we are. This country here has about 300 million humans living here. There are then 5.7 billion humans living outside the United States. If we're talking about 500 million survivors, I don't think they're all going to be Americans. So what does this mean here in the United States?
Two things. First of all, this is a very long-range plan we're talking about, unless, as I say...
50 years?
Maybe. There are radical people within these elite groups who are sitting back and saying, nuke, nuke, nuke. We can survive. We can survive this if we know when it's going to happen. We're willing to do this, and they have many colleagues who are saying, this guy is totally off the wall. We have to, you know, put a...
Yeah.
A lid on him.
We gotta,
But these people who are so crazy are not without great power. So that's number one. Number two, the plan is not for America to triumph. I mean, although Kissinger's memo made it seem like this was all about the national security interests of the United States,
right,
the depopulation idea, all of these secret societies, you see, over time have come to realize that they are globalists, as we would call them now. You talk about the Royal Institute of International Affairs and Cecil Rhodes. I mean, all of that was put together with the idea that Britain will once again rule the world. But sooner or later, these guys realized, hey, that's not the game
anymore.
The game is we will rule the world. Our descendants will rule.
Yeah, and doesn't matter where we're ruling it from.
We could be at the North Pole or on the moon. As long as we're happy and we've got the power, forget about these nations. They're complete fictions.